Well, still a good evening, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, last night we talked about the power of humility. Tonight we'll attempt to talk about the power of words.
Yes.
The power of words. Join us while we ask God's blessings on these thoughts. Our great and wonderful eternal God,
yes.
Oh Lord, you have been so good.
Yes.
Been so good to bless us in this revival.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these blessings. We ask you, Lord, yet for another blessing tonight.
Yes, Lord.
In this segment of the service, Lord, we surely need the blessings of God.
Yes.
There have been prayers already sent up to you for this time, and we send this one up, Lord.
Amen.
That your blessings would be so rich here tonight.
Yes.
Bless each one that has pressed out through the rain and the storm and come over the miles to be in this service.
Yes.
Lord, will you reward them?
Yes.
Will you bless them, Lord, in a special way?
Yes, Lord.
May we all receive a blessing. And may we be challenged, Lord, by the word of God tonight.
Yes.
We ask you to bless every word in Jesus' name. Amen. A person's words can have a great effect and impact on another individual.
Yes.
And that can be negative or it can be positive.
That's so.
Charles Spurgeon was a minister, effective minister in another century. And he had a speaking or engagement to speak at a place. And before his time to preach, he decided he would go to this building and this place and test the acoustics. And so the way that he chose to test the acoustics was to say the verse, and he possibly repeated it, said it more than one time. And the verse was, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Well, unbeknownst to him, someplace in the area, within hearing distance, was a worker. And he heard Brother Spurgeon speaking this scripture. And the power of God accompanied it. And it so touched this individual that he got saved. That was a positive effect of some words that was spoken that were backed by the Holy Spirit. Words have a way of affecting us. Grievous words take two individuals, individual A and individual B, and they can get in an argument and they can exchange words backwards and forwards, just arguing and arguing, and those words can ignite something down in to the very being of them individuals, that it don't end just in an argument, but they come to blows. They start fighting. You ever heard those are fighting words.
Yes.
And so they begin just slugging it out. They stopped arguing, but now they're exchanging blows, physical blows. And this goes on for some time, and the thing gets so heated that one individual pulls out a revolver and points it and shoots the other individual. Words can be that powerful.
That's so. That's true.
People can get heated up so over what somebody says to them that they can get so incited with anger that they just come to blows. And people have been killed. They're in their grave tonight. And something has incited something in an individual that caused that to take that other individual's life. Words are so effective in some instances. Of course, it may not be as prominent as it used to be, but it could cause a person to blush. Words can affect people that greatly. It just caused them to blush. Something be said of an embarrassing nature or something the individual's sensitive to, and those words can just cause them to blush. Words can be so spoken that it can inflict emotional pain upon an individual. I read a tract. Faith and Victory puts it out, and it's about a boy that was a son of a drunkard. The name of it's Tommy Brown, and the family was without sufficient means, and as a child, this boy helped his mother with the laundry that she took in. Father drank. And the time passed when he was school age and to start into school. Instead of being in school, he was home helping his mother at the laundry. And there became a time in his life where he wanted to go to school very, very badly. They were so poor. But finally his youngest sister, got old enough to help the mother with the laundry, and so Tommy was going to be able to go to school. And the day that he went with patched clothes and had a faded out cap, and his haircut was done by an amateur. And when he got to school, the teacher was quizzing him on why he was late starting to school. And while he was there, the young boys, they began to make fun of him. One of them asked, did he sleep the night in a rag bag? He was making fun of his clothes. And another boy offered the information that he was the son of so-and-so that was a drunkard. Those words did something to that little boy.
Yes, that's so.
And he run out of the room, run out of the building, and out of sight. Well, the teacher was troubled over the situation, and after a little trouble, she found out where he lived, and two ladies went to visit his household. And they found out the story about little Tommy. He had had his heart so set on going to school. And the boys, with their words, was so cruel. And it just affected him so that he started crying. His heart was just broken. Yeah. It touched him so deeply, and his mother couldn't comfort him. She tried to comfort him. She tried to console him. And he just cried. And one reason she was trying to get him to stop, she knew if her husband come home, that it would affect him. Well, this drunken husband did come home drunk. And little Tommy just couldn't stop crying. He couldn't stop crying. And so he got him. The father got him and started whipping him. And he was weak, and he fell and struck his head. And it put him in bed. He eventually passed. Before he passed, I think I have the track here, he spoke some words. He said, "I'm glad I'm going to die." He said, "Up in heaven, the angels aren't going to call me the drunkard's child and will not make fun of my clothes." I think it was the next morning that he passed away. The words of those children had such an impact on this child, and it broke his heart. And he just despaired of life and was glad that he was going to die.
Yes.
But he was assured the angels wouldn't make fun of him. Yeah. It is good for parents to tell their children, don't say bad things to people that are less fortunate than you. Don't call them names or make fun of them. You see, they have feelings too. And those words can penetrate and cause them heartache and can cause them grief and can cause them sorrow. And it eventually led to the death of this little boy. Words have a great impact. And David realized the fact that words were very important in Psalms, the 19th chapter, and the 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth,
yes,
and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a good prayer. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. You know, if everyone was very conscious and careful about their words being acceptable with the Lord, a lot of words would not be spoken.
That's true.
There would be a lot of things left unsaid. You know, a person, statistics is supposed to bear this out. And I wouldn't say that it is 100% accurate, but it says that 1/5 of a person's life is spent talking. You may know somebody that you think that statistic off, they might seem like they talk about all the time. And it is also supposed to be a statistic that an individual can say or says 18 to 25,000 words a day. Is that? That's a lot of words, isn't it? But David said, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. You're going to have to be pretty careful if you are acceptable in God's sight with 25,000 words. it's a careful.
Yeah.
I was listening to Brother Taylor's prayer and prayer meeting, and he was wanting to be an example in word and conversation. David wanted his words to be acceptable with God. That means more than my words be acceptable to people. But to God, let my words be acceptable. Well, women perhaps are more noted or prone to be talkative. And it's not wrong to talk if we say the right things. The tongue is supposed to be something like 2 ounces of muscle and whatever all is made up. It don't weigh very much. But it's awful hard to hold sometime, isn't it? Don't weigh but a couple of ounces. But it can get to going and hard to hold it sometimes. May the Lord bless us. 25,000 words a day to be acceptable. And it's not only the words that it said, but it's how it's said.
That's true.
You know, even a dog can respond at different ways of talking. You can say, come here, come here, come here. And that dog might just start wagging his tail and making a beeline to you. Or you could say, come here. And he'll have a different reaction, won't he? Well, what about a human being? It is not only the way what we say, it's how we say it. Amen?
Amen. That's so.
And even dogs like to be spoken kindly to.
Yes.
The words in our mouth. And perhaps women are prone to be more talkative, but a lot of time men can be awful talkative too.
Thanks.
I was riding out from Phoenix, Arizona. We come from Oklahoma last Wednesday and was on the plane from Phoenix to Burbank, and there was a man on there, and I tell you, he was a talkative fella. He didn't talk the whole time that we were on the plane, but he sure did his share. He was very talkative.
Yeah.
Some men are pretty talkative. But women are noted, what is the saying, telephone, tell a woman? See, they have that type of a reputation. Well, sisters, let's be careful that our words are acceptable with God. The words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, will be acceptable. Do you know words can cause trouble in the home?
That's true.
Back to this inflicting emotional pain. Take a man, he's a carpenter on the job, and he's hammering a nail in some wood, and he, by mistake, hits the wrong nail, this nail. The thumbnail. And oh, he grabs it. Hurts. Feels like that his heart's beating in his thumb. Oh, he just holds it and squeezes it and looks at it and checks it. And it looks there and a great big old bluish-looking place comes up on that thumb. Oh, it just hurts. Then it hurts for a while. But the next day, it's still a little sensitive and sore, but the pain's gone. Well, you can take that same man, and that was a definite physical hurt. You can take that same man, and his wife can say something bad to him, call him stupid, or tell him she wishes he was like his father or her father or whatever. And that can hurt.
That's true.
You can't see that damage, but there's an inward pain.
Yes.
An inward bleeding. An inward distress. So, in the home, words can cause troubles.
Yes.
In the congregation, the words can cause trouble.
Yes.
If you get a critical eye, so let's say it's towards the pastor, the minister, or a member in the congregation, and your criticalness, if you're weak enough and carnal enough to be critical, you're surely possibly weaker enough and carnal enough to spread that criticalness.
Yes, that's true.
So, you talk to your family. And you know that poison spreads?
Yes, that's so.
You know, families can be so affected by the wrong of either the mother or the father that it can ruin their lives. You remember when Achan stole that things that he wasn't supposed to have and he hid them under the tent? When he had to pay for what he did, every member of the family paid.
That's so.
Amen. The wife and the children. You see, they can be affected too. And when someone is critical of someone in the congregation or the pastor, a minister, a psalm leader or whatever, just in general, critically, do you know that could affect their children? And that very person may be the person that could be the one to touch that child's life.
That's true.
And here they have been damaged. Their influence has been damaged. And when they come to church and that individual preaches or prays, they got a block.
Yes.
They got a block thing. And it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to dynamite through those things, folks. You see, everyone that has been talked to about this criticalness is perhaps not spiritual enough to withstand it and overcome it, and they are affected. And they are affected deeply.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
This is serious. This has been done repeatedly over and over, and it has been very detrimental to the cause of God. And the enemy likes to work and use people's tongues to damage and to be a detriment to those that they are close enough to touch their lives. And God help us tonight that we'll be able to watch our words. One songwriter says, "Guide my words that they be spoken."
Yes.
In such a critical way. A kind and loving way. That they may heal a heart that is broken. A broken heart. I told you words were powerful. Heal a heart that is broken. We can kind of make a heart that's kind of broken. It's just broken up. But to guide the words that they may heal. A heart that's broken. There's power enough to do that in the words. There's power of life and death in the tongue.
That's true.
And there's power to heal the broken heart by words that are spoken at the due season. At the time that that person needs it, that healing can come and this heart can be restored, can be mended, broken heart, can be healed. It can be healed, the heart that's broken. And what else does it say? Now that's, may we be challenged to speak that kind of words. Words that will turn darkness into day. Have you ever been in a time of discouragement and you just heard a message or a song that just kind of lifted you up?
Yes.
Maybe somebody said something encouraging. I noticed Sister Louise praying yesterday about the tapes that had been an encouragement to her. The words that are spoken on the tapes have been a source of strength and encouragement. That strength that can turn the darkness into day through words. And if they can do that, they can turn the day into night, too, if they're spoken the wrong way, aren't they? It don't pay for us to just say things off the top of our head. Or just say something to be talking. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Words can be very discouraging. In Job's case, where he was just stripped down of his material substance, cattle, sheep, many material goods was just wiped out. He could go to the cemetery and look at 10 fresh graves, 10 children. Lost them. Lost his health. The boils was on him from head to foot. Walk around on boils. Sit down on boils. Comb your hair through boils. Job was going through it. He was in a furnace time of life. A low time. But did his wife say, "Hang in there, honey. Don't give up. Our God will bring us through. Wait a while longer. Be encouraged." Did she say that?
No.
She didn't, did she?
No.
Oh, those words could have perhaps been so welcomed by Job.
Yes.
Those words that could have comforted and soothed and made the battle a little easier.
Yes.
One brother was on a job and his boss was involved with the Ku Klux Klan, and they made it pretty rough on the brother. He made it wasn't such a pleasant thing. But this brother had a home life.
Yes.
And he got through that period of life. Job could have had some strength and some support. The wife had lost all these things too, that's true. And she had seen her husband smitten with these boils, which was perhaps very difficult for her to see. Amen. She was going through the furnace too. But she said to him, "Curse God and die." Just go end it. Well, he'd had enough of God in him that he didn't do it. But he did say, your speech, you speak as the foolish.
Yes.
May God help us that we won't speak as the foolish. And when somebody's going through it, we won't suggest curse God and die. It means something to be an encourager. To lift up and not press down. The one that meant so much and about all that Job had left, and here she was not the encouragement that she needed to be. May God bless us that we won't be like Job's wife.
Yes.
Then another case is recorded over in Numbers. There was 12 people dispatched to spy out Canaan land. Near the time of the crossing over into Canaan land, and 10 of them come back with an old gloomy, doomy report. You know, gloomy, doomy reports can cause discouragement.
Yeah. That's true.
And they can affect not just one person, they can affect a whole congregation, and that effect can affect the whole movement or reformation. Instead of them feeling and looking at the situation through the eyes of faith, they were looking through their own natural eyes, and they come back with words of discouragement. In the 12th chapter, in the 31st verse, it said, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report." Their words were evil of the land which they had searched, and to the children of Israel, saying, "The land though which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." Listen to those words. "And all the people that we saw, they are men of great stature." They're painting a dark picture. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anar, which come of the giants, and we are in their sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." These 10 men just bringing down this old gloomy, doomy report to the people of God. But a couple of brothers had another slant of it. Brother Caleb, he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." See the difference in the words?
Yes.
One was words of doom and gloom, and the other was of encouragement. Come on, we're able to do it. We're able to make it. They saw this through faith, and their words were so opposite and so contrasting to the 10 that brought up the gloom and doom.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Listen. Let us not feel like and tell around that the church is going down.
Amen.
It isn't. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. It's going on. And there is going to be some people that is going to be true. We don't have Brother Chandler now. We don't have Brother Austin Wilson now. But Moses died too. And after his death, it still went on. The church of God is still going to go on. May I encourage you tonight that in the midst of all of troubles and confusions and what have you, there's still a people who mean to be true. And there's still grace enough to keep us in God's care. Where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. So if somebody's telling you gloom and doom about this situation in the church and that situation in the church and this is happening and that's happening, remember, there's still a people. God's still got a people tonight. He's still got a people in Fresno, California. I've been listening to some of them pray. Be encouraged tonight. Lift up your head tonight. The church is going on. Amen. And there's some people that mean to go through, and there's quality in their lives, and God is blessing them. Well, these people, they got so down under the gloomy doomy, and it seems like it's easier to believe that than it is the other. And the following up of the next chapter says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Oh, they was just boo-hooing. And the people wept that night. They could have saved their tears. But what happened? Those gloomy, doomy words, that we're just like little old grasshoppers. And they're big old people. And it just affected them and put such a damper on their spirit that they just boo-hooed and cried. And they were tears that they could have saved and not had to shed at all. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. See, this gloom and doom will cause a murmuring. Yes. Against Moses and Aaron, the men of God, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. They was just so having a big old pity party. Amen. Having a big pity party because they had been so affected by this gloomy, doomy report of these people. May God help us that we won't be spreading gloom and doom. That we'll be bright spots. We know that God's going to have a tried people. And not everybody's going to come through. But there is a church and there will be a church and it's going to remain. May God bless us tonight. That we'll be encouraged in that. Well, got something here I'm going to read. May our speech be what God wants it to be. And this person was saying, Lord, I want to be Christian in my speech. Take my words and make them audible to me as others. Let me start it all over. Lord, I want to be Christian in my speech. Take my words and make them audible to me as you and others hear them. That's quite a request.
Yes, so.
Take my words. Let me hear them like you hear them. And like others hear them. Help me to own my responsibility for life. You know, each one of us are responsible for every word that we speak. In Matthew it says that every idle word will be given account of. Every idle word. We will give an account of every idle word in the day of judgment. For by our words we are approved, or by our words we're condemned. I don't get my eye on that particular scripture right now. We'll give that as a little homework. Go home and find that in Matthew. Every word, idle word, we'll give an account of in the day of judgment. That's close, isn't it? May God bless us. Help us to not have any evil speaking, any backbiting. Any wrong tones of voice as we speak. But may we speak words that are acceptable in thy sight. Let the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight.